Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
This week we are continuing our series called Giving Up. And one of my favorite things to do when I'm traveling is to engage in people watching. Anybody like to do people watching? Any fans of people watching? Airports are one of the most interesting places to watch people. You'll watch different people come in and they'll travel different ways. They'll bring different bags or whatever and they'll dress different ways. You'll see all sorts of crazy dress styles in airports. You'll see different personalities. You can tell when somebody in an airport has traveled and they're well traveled because they're much calmer. And then you can tell when somebody's never traveled before because they're like taking an overnight trip to Cincinnati and they're flying to Cincinnati and they got 17 bags. Right? But you'll just see different travel, levels of travel competency. And when you're watching people in the airport, you'll see people at their best and you'll see people at their worst. I mean, sometimes you can just really see some interesting interactions. Another fun place to watch people for me is at the fair. You know what I'm talking about here? I don't go to the fair for the food. I don't go to the fair for the rides. I don't go to the fair for the animals. I go to watch the people. I mean, that is, talk about a freak show. I mean, you go to the fair, the county fair is one level too. It's like when you go to the state fair, it's like there was this competition and the freak show level goes up and an extra stage or something like that. I love the fair. I'm not talking down the fair, but I love to watch the people that go to the fair. Head to the state fair along the midway during a weekend evening over in Columbus, Ohio, and just watch the people. That is worth the money. That is a good time. And you see, to me, when you watch people, you know, when I watch people, I'm just sitting there and I'll just watch these interactions happen in front of me. And in my head, because this is the kind of guy I am, I'm like, what's their story? You know, what's the story behind that guy with that really awful saying on his shirt? You know, what made him wear that? What's that person's history? What makes that person happy in life? I'm just like fill in the blanks, you know? What makes that person tick? What motivates them? That's always going through my mind when I watch people. People watching. You know, so it's a hobby of mine, and I think if we all admitted it, it would be a guilty pleasure of all of ours. People watching. Jesus was a people watcher. Jesus engaged in this guilty pleasure of people watching. Did you know that? He was a people watcher. And this morning, I'm going to present you with biblical evidence that proves that Jesus was a people watcher. Biblical evidence that Jesus, too, engaged in people watching. In Mark chapter 12, verse 41, we catch Jesus in the act. In our passage this morning, we find Jesus watching people, not at the airport, not at the fair, but we catch Jesus in the act of watching people at the temple. This was like something that he and his disciples engaged in quite frequently. And in our passage this morning, we find not just Jesus watching people in the temple, but we find Jesus watching people in the temple as they gave their offering. Talk about stalker. Jesus was a stalker. He's watching people in the temple as they're giving their offering. In Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44, we'll put it up there on the screen for you. Jesus is a people watcher. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put, and he watched the crowds putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people came in, and they threw in large amounts. But a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins. I'd say two pennies, but it says in the scripture it was worth a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, the poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she gave out of her poverty. She put in everything, all that she had to live on. Here's Jesus in the temple, people watching, and he's not just watching people come in, he's watching people give their offering. So over the past couple of weeks, we've been focusing on what it means to be Christ-like. Let's reset the table here real quick. We've been talking about what does this mean to be on this journey with Jesus, and we've sussed out that at the very core of God's nature is this characteristic of generosity. Underneath it all is this theme of generosity. Through God's creativity, through His holiness, His love, His justice, His righteousness, underneath all of that, God is always giving. God is always giving. He's always pushing out. He's always giving. And Jesus, who is the exact representation of His being, is also at His very core generous. It's just the underlying characteristic of God. And we've unlocked this mystery over the past couple of weeks. It's become clear to me, and hopefully it's become clear to you, that as we journey with Jesus, we open ourselves up to the power of the Holy Spirit to transform us in our lives as we practice generosity in our daily living, in every corner of our lives. A few weeks ago, we focused on practicing forgiveness over and over again, right? 70 times 7, even for people who don't deserve it. Even for people who don't deserve it. Last week we focused on practicing thanksgiving, even when we don't have anything obvious to be thankful for. Do you see this theme starting here? I was talking to Pastor Vicky this morning. So we're supposed to forgive when it's not deserved, and we're supposed to thank even when we don't have anything to be thankful for. There's this theme emerging as we're figuring out what it means to walk with Jesus. And this week we've talked about forgiveness, we've talked about thanksgiving. And this week we're going to talk about our resources. You're like, oof. Or I'm going to be talking about our time, our talent, and our money. And can I confess for you real quick? Number one, if you're a visitor this morning, this is the first time I've been here in 18 months. It's the first time I've ever preached on money. And number two, as your pastor, I will confess, I forgot to bring my tithe check this morning. That happens. So Jesus gives us in this story this morning a distinct point of view about giving. About giving. And he shares his thoughts with his disciples as they're sitting there, people watching. They're hanging out at the temple and they're all there. And I want to go over a few key observations that we pick up in this passage that we read this morning about Jesus. First of all, Jesus watches us as we give. Jesus watches how we give. He's interested. Okay? He's interested. He watches. He cares. He cares. This is really important to him. How we give is important to him. He spent time watching people give at the temple, and I think it's important to understand that he watches how we give every Sunday. Not just of our money, but of our time, talent, and other resources. Jesus is interested in how we give, and he is watching how we give. Not just our tithes and offerings, time and talent. Also, and you're like, oh, Pastor, this is harsh and awkward. But it's there in the scriptures. We see it in this passage right here. Biblical proof. Jesus is a people watcher. And you know, when I was in Honduras about 12 years ago now, I was struck how they collected the offering on Sunday morning. Because we have the tradition where the fellas come up and we pass the plates, and that's how we take up our offering. In Puerto Cortez, at the Church of the Nazarene, first of all, they don't have nice chairs like this. They have those plastic molded chairs, okay? And the way they do the offering when they come in, they sing a little bit and they worship and then they play at the offertory. They don't pass a plate, and this is how they do it. I think they still do this today. This is how they were doing it 12 years ago. Here's how they do it in Puerto Cortez. And I don't know if I've shared this with you before or not. But right here in their sanctuary, on both sides, is a bulletin board. And you know how we have the Sunday school offering envelopes in our classes, those little envelopes? Yeah. Every person in the church has an envelope with their name on it. And when they give their offering, they play the music and everybody gets out of their pew and they go up and they pick their envelope off and they stick their offering in it and they put it up on the wall. That would be horrifying here, wouldn't it? That's a cultural thing. But everybody participated, everybody watched every Sunday, and they were joyful about it. They were joyful about it. And you know what struck me the most about it? They were so joyful about giving, and they gave it very publicly and very transparently. But you know what struck me about it? They didn't have a thing. They were poor. The poorest among us in our church is a king or a prince or a princess in Honduras. If you woke up this morning and had hot water, running hot water in your house, you've got it better than somebody in Honduras. If you have a car or even the access to transportation, if you didn't have to walk here this morning, Randy, this excludes you because you live next door. But if you got in a vehicle and came here this morning, it's a demonstration. Even if you got a ride from someplace or from somebody. You know, around here, it's like I'll pick up a ride in a minivan in Honduras. It's not minivans. It's motorcycles. Could you see me picking up Pat at her apartment on a motorcycle? Pat, would you ride on a motorcycle with me? You know, if you walked across the sidewalk to get into our church this morning, and you didn't have to walk across kind of like a little bridge, and underneath it was a 3-foot deep trench that ran all the way down Longview Street that had the sewage coming from every house in it, you got it better than the people in Honduras. Because that's the way it is in Puerto Cortez. These people gave, they gave transparently, they gave joyfully, and yet they had nothing in comparison to what we have. They were poor. They are the least among us. So Jesus, he watches and he cares. And that brings me to our second observation. Jesus cares about why we give. Jesus cares about why we give. He noticed that the rich people were coming in and they were giving these large amounts of money. And it almost implied, as I read that passage, that they were kind of doing it to be seen. They were doing it to put on a show. Their motivation wasn't necessarily about generosity. It was about, I'm complying with the law, and look how much I'm giving, very publicly. It was like a showboat type of exercise on display for everybody to see. Jesus doesn't just see how much we give, folks. He sees into our heart, and he knows why we give. He knows why we give. And conversely, Jesus sees in our hearts, and he knows why we don't give. He knows why we give and he knows why we don't give. The scripture tells us that he loves a joyful giver. And in some ways, why we give matters as much or more than the amount that we actually give. It's the intent of our hearts. Why is that? There goes the pastor again asking why. Why is that? Why does he care about why we give? And that, I think that leads us to our third observation of this passage this morning. Because what I see in this passage, why does he care about why we give? It's because Jesus wants his disciples to give, not just their time, but their money, their talent, their resources. He wants us to give in faith. He wants us to give in faith. As Jesus is sitting there, people watching, he sees something very interesting going on. The rich people come in and they make a big show of their big gifts, but in comes this poor, impoverished widow. You know, and if I'm sitting there watching this widow, I don't know who she is, but the Joe Case model of people watching is all about what's the story behind this lady coming in, this poor widow coming in and giving. We have to understand her story. She was a widow. Her husband had passed away. She had no way to earn a living back in that culture, in that society. She is literally dirt poor. Literally dirt poor. The men were the primary breadwinners in that culture, so she's really in this tough spot. And I think it's really interesting, if you read the passage right before this, it talks about how the rich people, the Pharisees, were basically tearing down the houses of the widows and manipulating the poor people. So she's in this tough spot, but she comes in. Now, all of us are wealthy in comparison to this woman. You're like, Pastor, I don't have a lot. But I'm telling you this morning, all of us have more than this widow in this particular story has. So she's dirt poor. She's in this really hard situation. Her life is a tragedy. But she's devout in her faith. She is devout in her faith. And she comes to the temple, and she literally throws in her two pennies. She literally throws in her two pennies. And it's not just two pennies, it's everything she has. It's basically everything that's at the bottom of her wallet. She throws into the offering plate. She doesn't even have enough for her alabaster box for next Sunday. But she's devout in her faith. And she comes to the temple. And she throws in her two pennies. Everything she has into the offering plate. And here's Jesus watching, observing. And he says, they, the rich people, they all gave out of their wealth, guys. But she, out of her poverty, put everything, all she had to live on, into the plate. She gave out of her poverty. What does that mean? I think Jesus was saying she gave completely out of faith. She didn't know where her next dime was coming from. And yet, she gave. She gave because she was trusting God to provide for her needs. How often do we make our decision to give purely on faith rather than the balance of our checking account? So why does God want us to give out of faith? I think the answer is pretty simple. It's easy to give when we have much. It's hard to give when the ask outweighs our resources. You see, giving in faith builds our faith in God. And when we give in faith, it's that key that unlocks our hearts and it allows the Holy Spirit to come in and transform our hearts and our attitude about stuff, about the materialistic things in our lives. It's a hard thing to do, giving in faith. Look at the story of the rich young ruler. It's a story that we're all familiar with. We learned it in Sunday school, but he just wasn't able to pull the trigger to have faith in Jesus. He came to Jesus and he asked Jesus, Master, what must I do to gain eternal life? And Jesus said to him, you have to go sell everything that you have and come follow me. There was a hunger there in him. There was a desire that had been created in his heart. He knew that he had a need bigger than what his wallet could buy. And yet, here's Jesus telling him that he had to give everything up in order to enter into a right relationship with God. But he just wasn't able to do it. And sadly, ironically, this rich young ruler walks away from this relationship with Jesus spiritually wanting. Giving in faith, folks, is an essential part of our spiritual growth. It's an essential part of our spiritual regimen. So what if we were to withhold our time, our money, or talent from God? What would it mean if we withheld giving? Well, if giving is an act of faith, then not giving, doesn't that mean that not giving is a sign that we lack faith? That we don't trust God to provide our needs? Provide for our needs? Not giving is a sign that we may be self-absorbed with our own needs and wants rather than the needs of the kingdom of God. When we don't give, we risk becoming jealous people. We risk becoming people who are more concerned about what other people think, wanting what other people have, than being people of love, mercy, grace, and peace, and hope. When we don't give, we risk becoming green with envy. And our lives, the motive of our lives, constantly is keeping up with the Joneses, or having the clothes that look like they're in style, or having the car that is better than my neighbor's, or having a house that is bigger than everybody else's in the neighborhood. When we don't give, we risk becoming materialistic in our very essence. We risk becoming Scrooge. We're all familiar with that image of Ebenezer Scrooge. A Scrooge mentality is the taker nature in the flesh. All take, no give. It's all about me. It's all about my needs. It's all about my wants, my comfort. This Scrooge mentality, it's really good at rationalizing why I should keep all my money, time, and resources to myself. It's really good at rationalizing. I'm amazed at the things that run through my mind as your pastor when it comes time for me to write out that tithe check. It happens for me too. It can be spiritual warfare when it's time to put that pen to the paper and write that check out. I can come up with the craziest rationalizations in my mind for not giving my tithe. Have you been there? It kind of reminds me of the stories that I hear of addicts who rationalize their addiction. Could it be that we too are so addicted to substance, the substance of money, that we're blind to the fact that we're in need? So a Scrooge mentality, it rationalizes. A Scrooge mentality is also really cynical. Oh, Pastor, there you go. This is all just a scam for you to get your hands on my money. Cynical. There's a conspiracy, conspiratorial. But in reality, if we're on this journey with Jesus, we are going to learn to put down our excuses and our rationalizations. We are going to learn to overcome our cynicism. And we're going to just give. We're going to just give. We're just going to do it because it's part of what God has called us to do. Because it's biblical. It's part of what it means to be on this spiritual journey with Jesus. We're going to give of our time, our money, and our resources because that's what the Bible says we need to do. Because folks, there's this connection, there's this correlation between the generosity of our spirit and the generosity of our purse or wallet with the trajectory of our spiritual walk. I don't know why it is. I don't know why God has made us that way, but there is a direct link between our spiritual trajectory and the direction we're walking in our spiritual life and the level of generosity we have with the material things in our hearts and minds. The reality is, and I give Kevin Cox all the credit for this insight that he shared on Facebook this last week, following last week's sermon, the reality is we don't own any of this stuff anyhow. As a disciple of Christ who is steeped in giving thanks, we understand that all we have is really by God's hand and not by our hand. We are just caretakers. We're stewards. We don't own any of it. Part of this process of becoming vessels of generosity is allowing our eyes to be open to the grip that materialism can have on our hearts. And this grip of materialism, it's like chains on our souls that keeps us locked down and prevents us from growing in God's grace and His mercy and becoming the people that we were supposed to be because we're clutching too tightly to the things of this world. Money can be an idol for those who have lots of it. But folks, I'm also here to tell you today that money can be an idol for those who don't have any of it also. And I think the lesson of the poor widow in this story today, she teaches us this morning, the lesson that she's teaching us is to hold on loosely to the things of this world. Don't hold tightly. The more tightly we hold on to these things, the less we're able to take hold of what God wants to give to us. Hold on loosely to the things of this world. The lesson is to give in faith, even when we don't have it. We're supposed to forgive when it's not deserved. We're supposed to give thanks when there's nothing to give thanks for. We're supposed to give in faith. And as we give in faith, we trust in God to provide for our needs. And as we do, we open up our hearts to allow the Holy Spirit to transform us into the people we were supposed to be in the first place before sin messed us up. Are you like the poor widow this morning, giving in faith? Or are we like the rich young ruler who held so tightly to his money that he wasn't able to take hold of the peace and freedom that Jesus was offering him? We can't take it with us, folks. You'll never be satisfied if your bank account is your idol, regardless of how much or how little you have. You see, giving up, giving like Jesus, means we hold on loosely to the things of this world And we give out of our poverty. We give in faith. Jesus is watching, and he wants to help you and me this morning learn how to trust him more and more to provide for our needs so that we can grow in faith, support his kingdom, and so we can be a part of what he's doing in this world. It's all about giving up, giving in faith.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan Holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.